All right. Well, thank you very much. Good morning. Welcome again. Lots of snow this week. It's good to see you all here. And I don't know about you, but I'm kind of fired up. Like, so I had to weigh whether, you know, those testimonies are enough, but I'm kind of excited about my message too, so we're just going to carry on. And as Justin said, we're in this season of challenge. Challenge to take the next step in our journey of faith. And we're using Joshua 24 as a guide because there's an instance in the Old Testament in the life of Israel, the people of God, when they're faced with having to take the next step as well. We began looking at it last week when Joshua reviews with the people of God. He reviews their history of all of the things that God has done for his people. And then at the end of Joshua's life, then he gathers those people and he causes them to reflect on what God has done for them. And so that's what we looked at last week, and concluding with this verse where God says so to his people. He says, "So I gave you a land on which you did not toil, and cities you did not build, and you live in them, and you eat from vineyards and olive groves that you did not plant." God is good, and he provides for his people. And then Joshua says this. This is our text for today. Beginning at verse 14. "Now," he says, "fear the Lord." After reviewing everything that God has done. "Now, fear the Lord and serve him with all faithfulness." It's presented like a command. It's like, you've got to do this. There's no other choice. You've got to do this. "Fear the Lord, serve him with all faithfulness. Throw away the gods that your ancestors worshiped beyond the Euphrates River and in Egypt, and serve the Lord." And then he says, "But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you," which, after everything that he has said, is almost laughable, "if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your ancestors served beyond the Euphrates or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are now living. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." And then the people answered, "Far be it from us to forsake the Lord to serve other gods." Now that would be the correct answer. "Far be it from us to forsake the Lord to serve other gods. It was the Lord our God himself who brought us and our parents up out of Egypt from that land of slavery and performed those great signs before our eyes. He protected us on our entire journey and among all the nations through which we traveled. And the Lord drove out before all the nations, including the Amorites who lived in the land. We too will serve the Lord because he is our God." And so the people of God take the next step. They take it. They take it. They take that next step. And what we need to do here this morning in hearing this part of the story is to choose our direction. In order for you to take the next step, you've got to choose your direction. And there's three things that we got to pay attention to. The first thing is this business of covenant. Joshua, in this episode, is renewing God's covenant. God, in his relationship with his people, establishes that relationship through this thing called a covenant. Now, we're mostly familiar with contracts. Contracts are entered in by two equal parties who agree to do something for each other, and so they enter this contract, they sign it, they shake hands, they do whatever it takes to assure each other that they'll be true to that contract, and each party must fulfill each side of their contract. If they don't, then the contract's done. It's just eliminated. It's done. Or renegotiated or something. A covenant works differently. And when God gathers a people for himself, he covenants with them. He brings a promise to them. He did it with Noah. He brought a promise, said, I'll never destroy the world again, but I'm always going to be faithful to you. He did it when he came to Abraham and he said, I'm going to be your God and you will be my people and I'll make you into a great nation. It's my promise to you. And he covenants with Abraham. He says, you and I, we're two parties joined together. But the only thing that covenant depends on, God says, is my faithfulness. He did it again with Moses. When God brought the Ten Commandments, he says, I'm going to be your God. You're going to be my people. Here's my rules. Follow them. He did it again with King David. And he said to David, there's always going to be one of your descendants on the throne, ruling, which is why in the Christmas season, which we were just reminded of, that we celebrated not too long ago, when we read the Gospel of Matthew or the Gospel of Luke, they spend a lot of time on the family tree. Why? Because they want to make sure that you recognize that God has been faithful. He upheld his side of the covenant. He was faithful. And a descendant of David now rules over the entire universe. Jesus is a descendant of David. God was faithful to his covenant. Here's the thing. When we think about our relationship to God and taking the next step in following Jesus, it's based on God's covenant, on God saying, I'm going to be your God. You're going to be my people. And it's not going to depend on how well you perform. It's going to depend on my own faithfulness. Which is why it's so important to recognize God's faithfulness in our life. You heard that in Jackie's testimony. We've got to hear it from other people sometimes, because sometimes we can't just carry it. Sometimes we just can't see it. And covenant is so important. If you're thinking about taking the next step, perhaps you sat here in this chair, you heard those four stories, excuse me, and you also, like me, started to get fired up and thinking, wow, this thing's really exciting. Man, this is good, man. I'm glad I showed up this morning. And then you're thinking, oh, but do I dare take the next step? What I want you to recognize is that daring to take the next step doesn't depend on whether you will be successful, on whether you're going to be awesome at that next step. Daring to take the next step depends on God's covenant, on his promise to say, I'm going to love you. You take a next step, I'm going to love you. You fail in that next step, I'm going to love you. You mess up in that next step, I'll be faithful. You get confused in that next step and wonder if it was worth it, I'll be there for you. That's the very basis of each step we take in our journey of faith, is God's covenant, his faithfulness, his promise that he'll be there for you always. And that's a wonderful assurance, because we don't always feel like it. And if you're going to depend on your relationship with God based on your feelings, it's going to be misery. I promise you that. But if you can surround yourself with people who are going to say, yeah, I know, I'm with you there. I'm with you there. But remember, God's going to be faithful. And when we can encourage and build each other up like that, wow, then we've got a solid foundation upon which to dare to take the next step. Covenant. But in setting your direction, Here's the amazing thing about Joshua 24. Joshua lays it out heavy and thick and says, you have to serve the Lord. But if you don't choose to do that, well, that's on you. And if you choose to not serve the Lord, then you're on your own, entirely on your own. So choosing. You see, here's the crazy thing, is that God says, I'm always going to be in relationship with you. I promise that. I'll be faithful. And that's the only part that counts. And throughout Christian history, this has always been a tension. This has always been a fight. And people take one side or another. And they go, wow, this is crazy. I mean, the Apostle Paul ran into it. The Apostle Paul preached God's grace over and over and over and over again. And what he kept running into was people objecting, saying, wow, it can't be that good. If it's going to be that good, if it's going to be that easy, if God's just going to be faithful, and if it only depends on God's faithfulness, well, then I can just screw around. I can do whatever I want. I could just, I don't even have to pay attention. And Paul says, don't be silly. And that's what Joshua is doing too. God is going to be faithful. God has promised you everything you'll ever need. God has promised that he's going to love you forever. God has promised that he's going to save you. God has promised everything for you. Are you just going to sit back and just say, take it in and just do nothing with it? That's the choice that Joshua's handing to the people. Now, when we think of choices, we usually think of going to the supermarket and trying to decide what kind of milk we should buy. 1% skim milk, 2%. I like going for the whole milk because it's just better. But you could choose whatever you want, and it's okay. That's a good choice. But that's not what Josh was talking about here. This business of choosing is simply one way. You choose to serve God or you've got nothing. Which probably isn't much of a choice, but you still have to choose. You still have to decide who you're going to serve. It's about making a commitment. It's about renewing one that you've already made, perhaps. But in either case, you can't just stand there. You have to decide. You have to choose. I mean, poor John Van Wilden has to choose. Is he going to watch the game or is he going to go small group? I would recommend small group because 49ers are going to win. You can choose whatever team you want. But Joshua says, choose this day whom you will serve. It's not that there's a host of choices. It's that you've got to make the commitment. And that's the third thing that we've got to pay attention to then. Covenant undergirds our next step. God's covenant. But that doesn't mean you can just stand there. You have to choose. But when you stand there about to choose, that commitment can be hard to make. I've stood there many times. And you probably have too. You stood there and you said, I've got to choose. And I'm going to choose to serve God, but I don't feel like it. I'm going to choose to serve God, but I know that I've messed up so many times, and now I've got to start all over again. Will it be worth it? Choosing and commitments are hard. See, It's not just that we have a tendency to be unfaithful, but that we know that we are unfaithful. We know we're stubborn. We know that we're disobedient. We know that we love to depend just on ourselves. It's easier that way. Whole lot easier. But choose this day whom you'll serve. And when that issue of commitment becomes overwhelming, then there's uncertainty. The uncertainty that, well, maybe we'll fail, or maybe the decision's not worth it. And that's why we have this business of the covenant. That's why it's so important to recognize that in taking your next step, God's already there. He's ahead of you. God's promises don't depend on your ability even to commit. When we choose a next step in the discipleship process, even if it's the completely wrong step for you to take, how bad's that going to be? Because you're following hard after Jesus. And so for probably all of us, our faith journeys zigzag. We take a direction. And then we find out later, that was not a good step. I better get back on this way. But God's already ahead of us. And he's constantly guiding us. So don't let the fear of commitment get in the way of taking the next step. Because if you're following hard after Jesus, God will steer you in the right path. And he'll always be there with you. Even when you stray off, he'll put you back on. There's something else, though, with this idea of commitment. At the climactic point of decision in Joshua's speech here in Joshua 24, right? He's all fired up. Choose this day whom you will serve, he says. And then he adds this stirring and unexpected confession. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And he's not just letting the people around him know what his personal choice is. Hey, guys, just thought you'd like to know. Here's what I decided. No. Joshua is extending an invitation to commitment. He's inviting the people into that commitment alongside of himself. Choose this day. But as for me, I'm going to choose. I'm inviting you into that very same commitment. And we're going to do this together. That's why we've got this life groups thing going on. Because standing at a brink of a next step and making a commitment all on your own is a scary step. But surrounded by peers, surrounded by fellow sojourners, then you can dare to take the next step. The people of Israel, they reply enthusiastically, "We're going to serve the Lord." But only after Joshua said, "But as for me," and he's invited them into the commitment, and they dare to take the step. Commitment happens in community. It's not just a matter of individual choice and then you're left on your own. We can dare to make commitments best when we're in community because that's where the encouragement and the accountability are. So, choose your direction. This morning after the service, if you're not in a group, join me upstairs and we'll work through this. Choose your direction. Maybe this week sometime you'll meet in your small group You'll tackle this thing. Choose your direction. But choose it with confidence in God's covenant. And then, with courage, choose it even if you don't feel like it. And with commitment, choose it, relying on God's love and God's faithfulness together. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, it just seems that when we're all together and we've had a marvelous time of worship, we've been honored by stories, testimonies of people who have been inspired and who have journeyed within the context of a small group. And we sit here and we're thinking, yeah, maybe that's a good thing. But God, we know our own hearts. We know our own soul. We know our own failures and weaknesses. And it's going to be hard to take the next step. Or maybe we're thinking it's going to be easy, and then at the first stumble, we'll give up. Or maybe, Father, we've been overconfident because familiarity brings that kind of arrogance in our faith that figures that we're fine, thank you very much, we can do it on our own. Humble us, God, and by your Holy Spirit, draw us close to yourself. Assure us of your faithfulness and of your everlasting love. And we pray that in all of our discussions together, in all of our thoughts within our own minds of what it will take to advance in our journey of faith, give us a vision of Jesus and fix our eyes on him, the author and the perfecter of our faith, and teach us what it means to follow hard after Jesus. We pray this in his name. Amen. Why don't you stand? I want to encourage you to step out in faith this week. And step out with boldness and with courage. But instead of the expectation that you're going to make yourself into a great Christian, or the expectation that, wow, I'm really going to shine if I can take these great steps, let it be to the glory of God. To him who can keep you on your feet, standing tall in his bright presence, fresh and celebrating, to our one God, our only Savior, through Jesus Christ, our Master, be glory and majesty and strength and authority over the whole earth. That's happening before all time. That's happening right now here in this place. And it'll happen forevermore because God is faithful. Go in his faithfulness. Amen.